truth in our continuum. Take out your documents, and everybody that's here, hopefully you at least have an excerpt. Amen. Of a document. Everyone repeat after me. Scripture comprehensions of measures. The matrix. Let's go to page 19 today, and Ella Nicholson is our designated reader. I've got to go back to Romans chapter 8 again. There's some more nuggets we need to mine out of it. Pastor, this is the third time we've, amen. And if I don't finish today, we'll be back there next time. This is too important. Romans chapter 8. I think what we'll do today in order to bring everything into concept, and in fact, the next scriptural context we shall move in will be in the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians. And I think we need to garner this and internalize it to be able to take it into that context. Let's start at verse 31 today, and I'm going to read down through the end of that chapter. There are a few verses that I'm going to comment on, and then we shall move forward in this vein. All right. Everybody got Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Say amen. All right. From the King James, first we shall read. Reader, read. Let's look in the essence of what's there. There are some things that you will notice in the King James. He does quite a bit of editorizing. There are many, many words that are italicized there, and then others that should have been italicized. Amen. But as we bring this into focus, these are the things that we see, but we see them through the eyes of faith. We see things from scripture viewing. Everybody says scripture viewing.
Scripture viewing.
Rather than matrix viewing. In other words, when we look at the things in the matrix, we are viewing them scripturally instead of physically. Because what's really there is spiritually. Spiritually. The physical, the physicality depicts that which the light shines upon. Hopefully this morning, as our time allows, we're going to get in to the confliction matrix simulations. You have these, what they call neutral interacted simulations. In other words, there's there, and there are five people are gazing upon something, and five people see five different things. Yeah, what they're garnering out of it is in the eye of the beholder.
Uh-huh. Amen.
None of which can be relied upon. As we go into the conference next week, we shall see illustrations of things that they pop up and they look so convincingly menacing. And with a mind and with a control center of its own, which means it's only captured within the interaction itself. And the problem is, though, five different people may be looking at five different things, look at the same thing, brother, and they see five different modulus of what's occurring. In other words, you're looking at something, and to you, that thing is it's happening that particular way, and you see it, and you say, "This is destruction." When in essence, it's not destruction, it's deliverance. I mean, I don't know how many times you was. But let's go back to the Old Testament. Most of us like that Old Testament. All of the things that Joseph went through. And in the end, he told his brother, "Now you meant this for what? Evil." But so the thing doesn't operate within itself. Oh my God. It'd be the purpose of God for his glory to take that thing, and you think it's working against you, and ultimately it works for you. This is why the scripture comes to tell us that that in everything, I think we were dealing with that a little bit in the men's fellowship yesterday, in everything. He didn't say for everything, he said in everything. Do what?
Give thanks.
Because what?
This is
God's will. Individualized, tailored, customized for you. Now, if that's not true, we just take the page and we just throw out, gone out there and go crazy with everybody. Either this is true as a fraud, and we're sitting up here this morning wasting our time. Thank God I know it's true.
Thank God.
You are not just hanging out here.
Come on.
On your own.
All right.
Do you know what on your own means? On your own means that you're not just hanging out here on your own in the standpoint of you don't have your friends help. But you're hanging out here floating just somewhere on the earth on your own. No, but it doesn't stop there, because the earth is in the solar system.
That's it.
That means that you're just hanging out here in the solar system on your own. But that doesn't stop there. The solar system is in the galaxy. So that means you're just hanging out here in the Milky Way on your own. But it doesn't stop there. The galaxy, the Milky Way, is in the universe. That means that you're just hanging out here in the universe on your own. Here's what we was going to understand.
Oh, God.
The universe is in him.
Right.
Somebody once asked me, "Where is God in the universe?" I said, no, you got that question. Let's adjust the question. If you're going to ask where, if you ask anything, it would be, "Where is the universe in him?" Not, "Where is he in the universe?" The universe is in him, and it doesn't even fill him up. God's in control. Everybody said God's in control. Do you trust him this morning? Do you trust his will and his purpose? Are you confident? Now we look to the word of God to give us direction. All right? All right, start reading, Elder. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Again, everybody got it, amen.
What shall we say then?
Mm-hmm.
Say to these things.
Mm-hmm.
If God be for us, who can be against us?
See, that's, that didn't quite. We're straight now. Keep going.
He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not be with him also free to give us all things?
Now, when you look at God's track record of what he has done for you, don't you ever doubt whether God loves you or not.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Or whether he cares about you.
That's right.
Look at his track record of what he has done. Look at the fact of who you are and everything it took for you to be who you are and where you are. Who you are, you're an heir of God. You're journey of Christ. You're son, a child of God. Where are you? You're in him. And that took everything. Well, no, I'm out down here on the earth and I'm going through this problem, this trouble. That's temporary. Oh, God help us to know. All right, read.
Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies.
All right.
Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also maketh intercession
now,
for us?
Now, he's speaking, you got to understand this when you look at this from eternality. These are eternal facts. Everybody say eternal facts. Everybody say eternal now.
Eternal now.
Because that's the only now that counts. Because, right, said now.
Now.
It's gone.
No. That's right.
Said now again.
Now.
It's gone. And every now after that is gone.
It's gone. History.
Yeah. You mean that now that hasn't gotten here yet? It will come, but then it will go. There's only one prevailing, consistent now, and that's the eternal now.
Amen.
And this is where he speaks of these things, that these eternal facts, they are facts because they don't change.
That's right. That's it. Amen. Thank God. Yes.
They are perpetual. No, they are more than perpetual. They are now.
Oh, glory.
Perpetual means continuous. Now needs no continuation.
That's it.
Now is now.
Now. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's keep reading. Oh, my God. When we get... There's some things that we understand. Life takes on a different view altogether.
Right. Yes, it does.
Right.
Read.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Same thing.
Shall tribulation?
Now, when he speaks of this, he hears a litany of things that's in the matrix. And none of them are now. In the sense of eternal.
That's right.
Now.
That's right.
That's it.
Oh, I think the King James has this expression, and it came to pass.
It came to pass.
These are situations and frames that your conscience is moving through. And none of them are permanent. Whatever it is, it comes and then it passes. As though it never was.
That's right.
Why do you say that? Because all of them are overshadowed by the eternal now. And the eternal now, all of these things are simply past testimonies. And if you were able to move to the vantage point of your place in Christ in eternity, all of these things have passed. And all of these things were only testimonies. And from the vantage point of now, and this is why he, in this verse, he uses either perfect tense would be was and is, or he uses the present tense. Just like he does over Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, when you have that present infinitive. He chose us being what?
Being holy.
Now he's taking you to the vantage point of where you are in him eternity right now.
Oh, Lord.
Same thing as we would deal with in the conference. I would get off into that again. When he speaks of comprehending with all of the saints, he's speaking of the eternal now essence of us having all advantage of all of this, these testimonials of that which God assigned to us for the praise of giving him glory. And we're in comprehension of the eternal now. Wouldn't it be good to have some of that now? I mean, as you're passing through from each point, from one point to another point, from this now to that now.
Yes,
yes. So we can relax. And many times we're crying when we could be rejoicing.
Yes, yes, yes.
We're stressing out when we could be resting.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord.
Depending upon what you make of that thing you're looking at.
You're looking at
it. This is, Paul wasn't smoking something. He wasn't high when he wrote this. Read that litany again, Elmer's Trident of Tribulation.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distresses?
What's the answer to that? Keep reading.
Or persecution. Or famine.
And that's going hungry. Keep reading.
Or nakedness.
Oh, my God, that's being all your possessions stripped of you. A what?
Or peril. Or sword.
Man, that means my whole existence is sort of hanging in the balance. These are the things that we look at in the matrix. These are the things that stress us out. What does the scripture say about them?
As it is written.
Now that comes from, you might write this down. Paul here is making a corroborative reference here to Psalms 44:22. As he speaks of the status of Israel. Now, he may or may not have known what he was writing about them, but this explains it. As it is written what?
It is written, for thy sake.
For whose sake? You have to go back to, you don't have to go back there for that, but the context of this shows for whose sake? But to corroborate it, because in that whole passage in Psalms there, it couldn't have been for Israel's sake, because if it had been for Israel, I mean from the standpoint of it was based upon their performance, or what their cause, if it was corollary of resulting from what they had done, it would have been the opposite. So that which is assigned to you, and in this case, as you go back to the antecedent, a previous verse, those things that are happening here, Paul is coming here and he's conveying the fact that it is for God's purpose that these things are happening. It's the hardest thing for us to understand. We go through that thing and we look at that thing as though a purpose within itself, and we can't figure it out. It is for God's purpose. Now, I may not even like the way things are going, but those things are assigned for God's purpose. Oh my God, I pray is the Lord will, the eyes of God's people will be enlightened, that we will know what is the hope of such a blessed calling. All of the inglorious inheritances of things. And if God has given us all of that, does he have the right to assign something to us for testimony?
Amen.
So all of the kindness and the goodness and the graciousness were preassigned to you. And now you're going through some trial for God's purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're so caught up in the trial, you can't see him. But that old saying, you can't see the forest for the trees. Did I say that right? You're focusing in on what you're focused in, and you can't really see what's going on because you've got your mind made up as to what's going on. Based upon what you see.
Amen.
But it's not in the seeing, it's in the saying.
Amen.
Finish it up, Elder.
As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long.
Mm-hmm.
We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter.
That was no accident. Keep reading.
Nay, in all these things.
In all these things. I know I'm not going to have time. The time clock is moving. Nay, in all of these things, what?
We are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Okay, I'm going to stop a minute. I'm going to go to the... Oh, my God. I'm going to go to the Greek here. Let's go to the Greek text, the Greek interlinear there. As we look at the Greek text there, read that just from the interlinear, verse 37.
Okay, 37.
Mm-hmm.
But in these things,
mm-hmm.
all we overconquer
mm-hmm.
through the one having loved us.
Okay. All right. Sometimes people frown, but here. We're going to extract here and pull out the actual utterance. Okay? This reads, all in tutis, passing. And here, that is expressed, but we have the strong adversative of, we have what we call a superordinating conjunction, which means that everything that's behind, look forward. Because everything, I'm getting ready to say it now, just complete the overrules that which I've said. See? It's in tutis, passing. And you notice passing now all, you have the absence of the what, Brother Deacon? So that means what? Each and every. So in tutis, passing, in each in every of these. What are you talking about? Point back to the previous verse. We read a litany of things. Every one of them, any one of them seemingly can wipe you out. He's saying in all of these things, the tribulations, the peril, the sword, the famine, everything back there. In each and every one of these things. Follow closely now. And I think we went over this a little bit in Bible study Wednesday evening. We have a verb there. And most of the translations make it an adjective. That is a verb. The verb there is dealing with the essence of where we stand in him. The essence of it is basically saying to us, we overconquer. Are we more than conquer?
Yes.
He's speaking from the eternal now. He's not speaking from the aspect that you're going through some particular tribulation and God's going to deliver you from it. You're hungry, but he's going to deliver you from it to perils of the sword. Otherwise, Paul writing here would not prove to be authentic testimony, because when he was persecuted, they eventually did what? They executed him. But he's speaking from the eternal aspect that that problem may not come out the way you want it, and God may not, quote, deliver you through the avenue of Him, amen, removing the problem. Sometimes we pray for God to move the mountain. It is not God's purpose to move the mountain. It's God's purpose to use the mountain. So that the testimony of His glory. So how can you say you've already conquered? Now somebody read this and say, just keep on praying and keep on thinking, and God's, He's gonna, your bill's gonna get caught up, and you're gonna do this and that. That's not what He's talking about. He's talking about the eternal now. Yes. Rather than the passing points on the matrix. Right. That you are more than conquerors based upon where you are. Where are you? You're in Christ.
Oh my God.
Oh, oh, and I know they're not going to. You know, you preach this and people say, well, hey, yeah, making sense. But they said Paul wasn't making sense.
That's what he said.
Didn't Festus stop the proceedings? Say, this man is crazy.
Shut up. That's
he would say, shut up. You got that job, you worry about them laying you off, they might. They might. This is not saying, you know, you're not going to get fired. You know what? Our problem is we've heard these deliverance sermons. You know. 1,000 may fall at the side, 10,000 at the right hand, but it won't come near you. No, this is not what he's saying.
That's right.
And anyway, when the prophet was saying, he was speaking of a specific instance.
That's it.
He may bring you out, but he may not. That way.
That way.
But either way, you out.
You're out. Either way, out.
Hey! You overconquer. All right. There's no way I'm going to get through this. Elder, finish just reading that, and then we'll go to the document. Oh, my God. One of these times, you ought to give me about 3 or 4 hours, and we can just... I said that for effect. You know, I have completely lost my mind up here. All right. All right, read.
But in these things, all we overconquer through the one having loved us.
Glory.
Okay. Go ahead.
Keep reading. Finish it up. 38 and 39.
For I have been persuaded.
That's the perfect. That's the perfect tense there. Read.
For I have been persuaded.
That means this was pre-assigned to him.
That not death,
nor
life,
nor
angels.
That's everything that's popping up in the matrix. Right, right. He's going down to the bottom line. What's the bottom line? The bottom line is where I am in Christ. Read.
Nor rulers, nor things present, nor things coming, nor things on the height, nor depth, nor any creature.
Nor any other in creation. We don't have time to go to the Greek this morning. Nor any other in creation. Here we have an indicative future. Shall what?
Or will be able.
Will be able. It is an able to do what?
Us to separate from the love of God in Christ Jesus, the Lord of us.
So the thing here is, what's the bottom line? No separation. No separation. That's the bottom line. No separation.
Thank God.
What's the bottom line?
No separation.
No separation. All right, we're going to go to the document. Let's go to the top of 19. Now, you know, in that context, of the writings, go back to 18 for a minute and go to the bold portion up there that there's a misprint there. I think it's straightened out for those that are looking at the document on the website. I think it's straightened out there. But here, as it is before us, the bold writing, inconsecutiveness. Everybody say inconsecutiveness. Of emergencies. That is what is coming forth. What is happening? What is emerging? In physical, secular measures. The matrix. So the inconsistent things, you know, we're looking for peace in what we get. Confusion. We get a steady stream of things that are happening. And here, in that first paragraph, I'm not going to read this again, talk about the lack of consecutiveness. The scriptures are telling us that these are the things that are depicted, but these aren't the things that are actually happening. You know the story of Joseph, because of what was manifested in their eyes and what they saw in him being sold into slavery and all of the things that Joseph went through, imprisoned the whole nine yards. It comes out that all of this was intended for the salvation. When I say salvation, I mean the deliverance from famine of two nations. Not only Egypt, but Israel. Because of what he went through. Now, he could have been killed, he could have been in prison, but here he ends up the second most powerful man in Egypt. Now, did you think that just happened? What is happenstances? Or was it planned? Well, the Lord gave the answer there. What they meant it for is not what God meant. God's intentions. Everybody said God's intentions. And so when we look at these things, they are only there in expressions of the fingerprints of human imaginations. This is what that first line in that last paragraph of 18 says. I'm not going back to this again. But that's not what it is. And we're looking for the easy answers, and we're looking in the wrong places for the answers. Yes. We're looking around, and we're looking at things. And the more we look, the more frightened we get.
Yes, indeed.
You heard that expression, the longer I look at this, the dumber I get. The more confused.
That's right.
So confusion begets more confusion.
Amen.
You're confused. You're devastated. You're forlorn. You're depressed because of what you think you are looking at.
Come on with it. Hallelujah.
Let's go to the top of 19. Everybody, I'm going to take my time through this. And I'm going to preach into the summer and then take it up in the fall. You know, I'm not even worried. This is only part one of six parts here, and we're only about a third of the way through this document. But I'm not even, we can't go to page 21 until we get 20 straight. Or 20 until we get 19 straight. Now, we could just rush through this and say we've covered it, but what good would that do? top of page 19 where it says the matrix powerfully names, everybody got to say amen. The matrix powerfully names and describes its form of captivity into which illusions are born and wherein such live, move, and all manifestation appearances have their beings. What we're saying there, look into the matrix and this is what we think everything is. We think life is strictly what we see.
Amen.
What I'm going through.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
Read. Therein is the world constructed around such confines, physically and psychologically, as protection against many perceived threats and understood as efforts, oftentimes well-intentioned and always in progress. What we're saying there, the thing that is happening there, the thing we perceive to happen, we think the only essence of our protection is, well, I better do this and do that. You ever set out to do something, you're going to change something to stop something. And instead of getting better, the thing gets worse. You pray for something, and it looks like maybe your prayers are just hitting the wall and bouncing back at you. I mean, that thing is continuing. What did Paul say? He prayed three times. Lord, move this thing. That's why the Lord said, Paul, leave it alone. That means I should stop doing it. No. You're going to do in process whatever God has designed you to do. But I'm telling you, the controls are not from within the matrix.
Amen.
You can't change that thing.
Amen.
The only way it will be changed if it is God's will and his purpose. Now, do you trust him this morning? Do you trust him? Has he given you the internalization in this thing, in the process, to trust him? And part of the process is that you're listening to the word of God right now. That's telling you that you are more than conquering. You've overconquered. That's letting you know, stop looking at things through the eyes of sight. And look at them through the eyes of faith. Look them through the eyes of faith does not mean, Lord, I believe that you're going to do this thing the way I want you to do it. No. To the eyes of faith is, Lord, your will is done. No, that's the eyes of faith. Your will, that's your will is done. Back to the document. Such, in addition, provoke and target marketing. What powers, listen to this, what powers sustain the enormity of mind and resources? What power sustain the enormity of mind and resources expended in anticipating and manipulating human desires? What power? Now, in the matrix, it's like you're looking in the mirror. You look in the mirror, you quote, see yourself. You move, what's in the mirror moves. But you can't reach in that mirror and do anything. Can you change? You look in the mirror and your something is out of kilter. So there's a lint on my blouse, on my shirt. Do you reach in the mirror to remove the lint?
No.
You know why you don't reach into the mirror to move the lint? Because there's nothing in the mirror. In fact, if you're in a room and it's night, you turn the light out, what happens? Gone, let you know there's nothing there. It's a reflection. Life is a reflection of what God has designed for you for his purpose. Together, we're going to do this. And I hear people, even God's people, they big crusades of, we're going to drive the devil out of town. And I'm laughing. I'm saying, and really not funny. I mean, I'm going like, are you kidding? You're going to run the devil out of town? He's gone. Or he's done when God has purpose for him to be done and gone. And believe me, when God's purpose, he's done and he's gone. And in eternality, he's done and he's gone. We don't try to do something. No. Whatever you're doing is part of the process. But the process doesn't control. What controls? The purpose. And someone said to me one time, said, but then, if that's the case, then God's going to do whatever he wants to do. What's the use of praying? I said, your prayer is part of the process. I said, I tell you what. Your breathing is part of the process. Stop breathing right now. Just stop. No. It's part of the process. In this arena, are you with me? In this arena, elusive pools of reality dwell with the notion that their dialogues and modes of appearances are repeatedly creations of teleporting and physical resonances. That thing looked like that's what's happening. It has its own purpose and desired end, and you know, that's why when we go into the scripture and we read Colossians 1:16. What was that? Yesterday we were doing that? All things were created where?
In him.
That's right. Isola ni. In him. Not by him. By him gives the impression of something being remote from him. That thing is in him.
Yes, amen. Thank you. Yes.
Not something that he's not familiar with. Sometimes I don't know what we think of God. Lord, can you see me? Some of the songs we just sing, come by here, Lord, come by here. I'm not saying don't sing, but saying nobody's singing when you sing. He's already there. He's never going anywhere. In fact, he's there in the sense that the thing is in him. It's all the design of God. Whatever's happening in your life is the design of God. For his purpose. Not for your purpose. For his purpose. This is what this is telling us. Now what a painfully familiar are their masquerade epiphanies. What are we talking about? That's the sudden, intuitive leap of understanding through ordinary occurrences. We're trying to understand that thing. And that's not what it is. It's masquerading. You know, Paul was in prison, and he writes on the Philippian jail, he says, all of these things that have happened to me have happened for the advantage of the gospel. Now they threw him in jail and he's saying they threw him in jail and he said not being in jail is not for the hindrance of the gospel, for the advancement of the gospel. Oh, God help us to see through the essence of life and see who's in control. And so these things are expressions, whether such a misconstrued as par authentic or par conspiratorial. In either instant, They exhibit challenges of what are unsure rather than genuinely reliable in conveyances. Therefore, they simply demonstrate their inherency conduits of unreliable elusiveness. Look at the document. You see four illustrations here, right? And under them, we have them labeled conflicting, matrix, neutral, interactive, simulations. Everybody repeat after me. Conflicting, matrix, neutral, interactive, simulation. Do you know that each one of those actually the representation of the same thing? Look at them. They're the same thing. Each of these are the same thing. It depends upon where the light is hitting it as to what you see. It's the same object in reality, but depending upon the angle of the light is what you see. So don't you ever think that what you see is what you get. These are like illusions. Somebody would say, well, which one of them is real? I don't know. Because there are more than these four. I just put four there. You can have 10 people looking at the same thing and they come up with 10 different impressions of what it is. What did James say in corroboration? Count it all what? Joy. When you fall into different trials or temptations. What did Paul write in the 5th chapter of Romans? I'll read it for the sake of time. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also having access by faith to the grace where we stand and rejoice in hope of God. He's talking about the eternal hope. So now from the eternal now, from who you in Christ, he says, and not only that, we glory in tribulation. Is this man not his man? Why? Knowing that tribulation brings about patience. Yes. And patience, what? Experience. And then experience what? Hope. Going back to the eternal now. There's only one hope. They used to teach us that you're going to go through this trial and God's going to deliver you, and then the next time you're going to just be looking for him to deliver you, and then, you know, you go through that and that thing that you were praying for didn't happen. Now you're confused. There's only one type of hope. That's eternal hope. From the essence of who you are in Christ and the essence of eternality. The essence of eternal life. We're set.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
We're set. Now, as we look at this and we see the essence of those things that are conflicting, these simulations, that's why you don't look at them. He said, which one is the one? No. You always look to the Word of God. You never look into that situation within itself. The answer is always in the Word of God. Now, Lord is trying to teach us something. Let's go back to the document. When conflicting morphs portray in the matrix as neutral interactive simulations. So we know what that is now. We just went through it. They are certainly sketched imaginations in lieu of authentic information. They distinguish what is only obvious in their meta narratives. That is in language of what they seemingly are conveying. As composed to the proficient initiatives presented in the prevalent culture of eternality. You see, that thing is manifested in the matrix. That thing shows some testimony of manifestation in the matrix, but the actualization is where? In God's decree, where? In eternity. That thing is already said. It's already done. It's already finalized. It's already complete. Let's finish this paragraph. The former, that is, the imaginations of these neutral interactive simulations, they exude specific apocalyptic, you know, that word comes, that's the Greek word that basically transliterated into English, that translated revelation. Okay? And most of the time, it is speaking the book of Revelation, and you know what's in there, right? A lot of nice stuff, right? No. But don't you worry about any of that.
There you go. Yes.
That's it.
Not talking about you. If you do not divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants, what's the obvious results?
Confusion.
These are our instructions. So, the interactive neutral simulations, they exude and entail specific apocalyptic significance of what such protagonists discover in scripted, immersive environments which create illusions of inheritances supposedly to stimulate their death-dealing mechanisms. What are we talking about here? Oh, my God. December 21st, 2012. That's this year. The closer we get to that date, you know what those protagonists do, though, right? That's the date set. On this particular day, this is going to happen in the world. Now, watch what happens. You think Y2K was crazy. There are people right now that are going up into the mountains. They're stocking food. And they are inside the cave building, quote, environmental suitable dwellings to survive the impending, quote, impending chaos. Watch what happens as it gets closer. But you see, that thing starts with us thinking that we can protect ourselves in daily functionings. That's where it starts. We can change something. We can do something. We can. Let me say, I said, don't. Well, you're going to do it anyway. You go. We have been programmed to operate in the processes of the confidential inputs and ingressions. But what egresses,
yes,
what actually comes out of it, is pre-programmed. And somebody said, well, I'm going to go do a subset. I said, okay, all right. Just don't depend upon that. What do you mean don't depend upon? Why am I doing it if I'm not depending upon it? You're doing it as a part of the process. Understanding that the result is in the purpose, not the process.
Yes.
In other words, what God has designed for that is what it already is. It hasn't manifested. Listen, if God has decreed it, and you can write this down. If God has decreed it, if God has decreed it, it must happen or manifest. On the other hand, if God has not decreed it, it can't happen. It can't manifest. You can kick it, you can knock it, you can scream, you can holler, you can fast, you can, oh my God, you can do anything. You can go, many they do too. Go out of your mind. That thing is going to be whatever God has decreed it. God help us to say what? Your will is done. Your will is already done. I said, Pastor, you're crazy. You know, this thing's about to kill me, and it may come out this way and that way. No, you don't. We should be through and have the book finished by the end of the month. Don't be afraid of God's will. Confidence to the end. Lord, your will is done. And I trust your will. I believe your will. I stretch out on your will. I say amen to your will. I love your will.
Yes, oh glory. Thank God.
Let's finish this paragraph. The latter, that is the provision initiatives presented in the prevalent culture of eternality. Eternality substantiates what is ineffectively valued in eternal viewing. Everybody say eternal viewing. What is eternal viewing? That is the intelligence imbued and the unyielding influences and dynamic composition pinpointing actualities. A thing is actualized in God's decree. It's already there. It's been there from eternity. You're not just going from port to port to port and things are happening. And we think that things happen, what? You know the word I want you to use? Everybody said nascent. That means that thing is happening as it pops up. As I see it, it's just now occurring. It's either just occurring or it has just occurred. Or it has just recently occurred. No, it was there from the beginning. Factually and more specifically, and we're in here today, God solely in initial purpose. Everybody say initial purpose. I want you to underline this wherever you are. God solely in initial purpose commands and moves creation. I'm going to repeat that. God solely, exclusively, only, solitarily, in initial purpose. Everybody say initial purpose. That's only purpose. Commands and moves creation. Particular in predetermination of available alternatives. Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do that? No, I say, hey, whatever you believe to do, do. And what you do is not the determination. That's why there are no five ways to do anything. What's good for the goose may kill the gander.
Amen.
You know, two or three people try something and it comes out. Another three tried and that thing walked. But what for me. That wasn't designed for you. The Lord is trying to. This word, the God, it's the Lord lays it out here. Thank God as we go through this, He gives us illumination to understand these things. And we're going to deal with this in the conference going forth, scripturally understanding life's happenings from the scriptures. You're looking in the wrong place for your answers. But this is what I want to do. Your life is not about you. Your life is about what God has planned for you. For His purpose. None of us what? Live to ourselves. Romans 14:7. None of us what? Die to ourselves. Whether we live or whether we die. What? We belong to the Lord. Now, I might not like the route He takes me, so forth, so what? We belong to the Lord. Can the clay say to the potter, why are you forming this thing this way? Can it? Why are you doing it this way? Lord, why? That's not the way I wanted you to do it. Oh, we won't come right out and say that, but you know, subconsciously, that's what we're doing.
Amen. That's it.
Amen. I'm sick. I got an ailment. This thing, I'm sick of it. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I want you to move it. In fact, I'm going to do you just like the woman did to George. What do they call that? Violent faith? Who you getting violent with? You know, the judge finally told the woman, then did the parable, Jesus was in the parable, just that thing came. He said, go ahead on, lady, you keep on bugging me. And stay in your gospel. Stay in your gospel. No. This thing is arranged according to the way that God has decreed it. So there are no available alternatives in the sense that it's already predetermined. In the conference, we're going to have a diagram where a person is walking up a road and then it divides. You've got to either go to the left or the right. Life decisions. What you going to do? We're faced with that every day, aren't we? What you going to do? You know what you're going to do? Whatever has been predesigned for you to do. And it doesn't matter whether you go to the right or the left. The purpose is not in the right or the left. The purpose is predetermined. You can get the same thing going to the right that you get going to the left. And that could be good or bad. You go to the right, you go two blocks, bam, a car came out and hit you. Bad gone left. Now, all right, let's back up and go left. Bam, the car hits you. The purpose was the car was going to hit you. No, no. Not to harm you, not to hurt you.
That's it. There you go. That's it. Amen.
Think it's strange. In corroboration,
right.
Brother Peter,
right.
Consider the fiery trials that have come not to kill you, but to try you for testimony's sake. In the illumination of this ingression, that is, in coming into and internalizing this, what you going to do with it? One's enlightened observation of what is viewed on the matrix. Enlightened. Everybody say enlightened observation.
Enlightened.
What's enlightened observation? Now we're looking through this thing scripturally rather than through the matrix. confirms and convinces absolute control of its meta-narratives. In other words, the purpose is control of the process here. In solving this deified security, everybody said deified security.
Deified,
and we stopped that today. What is deified security? Security in Him. In deity. In the absolute righteousness and goodness of God. What's that scripture we were looking at? This one that was that Colossians 3 and 12? Yes. What was pre-assigned to us? Let's turn it out a second. I'm not going to just. Oh my God! What was basically here? It talking about. We'll skip that part. We just tell you it doesn't mean that. 3 and 12. That put on. Let's go to the Greek. But he said it there also. But that verb means that is a aorist imperative. What's an aorist imperative? It is a completed command. That which must be because it has been determined. Therefore, as elect ones or chosen ones of God, because you are the chosen ones, these are the things that have been assigned to you. This is what he's saying. Vows of compassion. Has been assigned to you. You think God doesn't care? Bowels of compassion has been assigned to you. The bottom line is, He saved you. He loved you. What else? Kindness has been assigned to you. So, how would He let me go through this and so forth? No. Let's deal with the eternal now. What else has been assigned to you? Humility. What has been assigned to you? Meekness. And finally, what? Long suffering. As they used to say at the South, you got it made in the shade.
Oh, yes. Glory to God.
Another saying, you're sitting in the catbird seat. You got more going for you than the devil could ever bring against you. And those things in that matrix, they're not to destroy you. They're there to enlighten you. They're there to give you an enlightening experience. They're there to give you the essence of enjoying and giving praise to the God of your salvation.
That's right.
They're there for the purpose of you appreciating Him. They're there because God placed them there. Because this is what He has for you. God loves you, and the things in your life are not working against you. They're working for you. We'll take it up next week. Next time, God bless you.